great work of God. And you hear around here a lot an emphasis that to be saved, you need to trust Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. You need to put your faith in Him to save you and wash your sins away. And we emphasize that over and over again. And then as soon as you're saved, as soon as you're able to get baptized, baptism doesn't save you, but it shows others what God did in your life, that He saved you. And now you're dead and buried and risen again to an eternal life. You have an eternal life, a new life. And baptism is like a show and tell. That's why we always keep our pool back there heated. Amen. I just put my hand in, it's warm. And so, the Christian life, it's important. Our responsibility are important. Your responsibility is important. We emphasize that a lot here. And here you are tonight, and I think of what Pastor Ware said. He said this, that the sovereignty of God or the sovereign grace of God in our life is not an excuse for the sleeping saint, but is the strength of the soldiering saint. And you know, sometimes I say to people, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. I'm talking about good people, people that love the Lord, people that are soul winners, people that do the work of God. But they don't chew on the meat of the sovereign grace of Almighty God. And so here you are tonight, and we know in this church, I get calls all day. I got calls today, people that are facing trials. People that are facing troubles, people that are facing battles and challenges in their mortal life. And no doubt, listen, even since Sunday, we had such a great day Sunday. No doubt you have had battles in your life. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about your own sinful nature. Perhaps you've sinned and you see the consequences of your sin and how it hurts you and it hurts others around you. And that's a battle that you face. And then how about the sin of others around you and how that may impact your life and affect your life. And then not only that, but you and I live in a cursed world. You know, we see what's going on with even the one that was elected as president and the wickedness and the terrible junk that's going on. And then we live in a cursed world. We have physical challenges. We're talking about cancer and other challenges. We're talking about financial things that happen in this world. All the prices going up. That's really crazy, you know. And you see everything going up. And sometimes in the midst of all these things, though, I believe you and I who are born again, I'm talking now to true born again believers, you need to take a step back and you need to smell the roses. By that, I mean that you need to take a moment to survey your riches in Jesus Christ. Survey how the Father God has lavished upon you a great salvation, and that you are truly rich. You are truly blessed. No matter what you're going through, you are blessed, as Brother Matt said, that His name, He knows His name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
And help me out, Brother Matt. When was your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, according to the Bible?
Before the foundation of the world.
Not when you got saved?
That's when I found it in there.
But when was it written?
Before the foundation of the world.
He's exactly right. That man is right. That man is right. You say, I don't like his theology. Tough. It's in the Bible. I checked it out. It's in the Bible. And the point I want to make to you tonight is you need to stop, step back, and smell the roses. Yes, it's our responsibility to come to Christ. And if you don't come to Christ, you'll not find your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's your responsibility to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And you don't do that, you won't find your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I want you to step back and realize that God says, Jesus said it, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you That you should go and bring forth fruit. Somebody says, yeah, I'm chosen to bring forth fruit. Yeah, and chosen to be saved, so you'll bring forth fruit. It's all included, my friend. God made the first move. God did the great work, and he has blessed you. And so you are blessed. If you're saved, you are blessed with spiritual wealth. You are blessed to be where you are, and the devil doesn't like it. The world doesn't like it. But God said to his disciples, fear not, little flock. The Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Oh, I love that. You say he's given the kingdom to Israel. Yeah, he's given the kingdom to Israel as a nation. They are his chosen nation. But not only that, he's chosen that we would reign as a queen in that kingdom with the King of Kings. And what a blessing that is. And you say, wow, that's great. You know, listen to me tonight. You know if you're a born-again child of God. Now, if you're not truly a born-again child of God, you don't know this. But if you are a born-again child of God tonight, you know you don't deserve all these things I'm talking about. You, in fact, know just the opposite, that you deserve to go to hell and burn in the fire of hell forever. And here's what the Bible says about that. It says, and you hath he quickened, that is, made alive spiritually, who were dead, spiritually speaking, in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, that's the way we lived our life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Then it says, by grace are ye saved. You're saved by God's grace. How can a dead person save himself? He can't. How can a blind person see himself? He can't. God had to quicken you. God had to touch you. And that's why it says there in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 and verse 5, by grace are ye saved. Now my verse today is, for by grace are ye saved through faith. But then it says, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what that's saying there? Even the faith that you have to receive the gift was given to you by the sovereign grace of God before the foundation of the world. And the faith that you had to receive the gift had to be given to you by God. That's what Jesus said. Faith is a work of God. Do you see that? Otherwise, if it's a work of your dead flesh, then you got dead faith, and it's a work of man. And my Bible says, for by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of what? Works, lest any man should... I think we got too many humanistic people that tap themselves on the shoulder and say, man, I'm smarter than others. I'm a believer. I believed. Listen, it's not your faith that's the source of your salvation. It's God's grace. It's God's grace. And what the scripture means is that by now, since you've been saved, by now you should know that you do deserve to die and go to hell. And when you stop and think, there are people that are not as sinful as you, yet will die and pay for their sins in hell while you're experiencing God's amazing grace for all eternity. You say, people that are more sinful than me will die and go to hell. Didn't Paul say, I'm the chief of sinners? Didn't Paul say that? He said, I killed Christians. I was like a Hitler. I was bad. And God broke through on the Damascus Road and he saved me. Why did he do that? Because God is gracious. He saves us not to glorify how smart we are. Not how smart we are to recognize anything. No, to glorify his grace. And it's about time you kick the humanism out, the tapping yourself on the back. In fact, I believe this evening that the reason God leaves your sin nature within your mortal body, operating through your mortal body, is so that after you're saved, you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt how bad you really are, how wicked you are, and how much you deserve hell.
Right.
And you should realize that every day you live, every week you live. And I have a problem with somebody that doesn't see that or understand that or comprehend that. Because I wonder, did you ever get lost so that you could be saved? And I'm thinking of John Newton tonight. He wrote the great song that we sang, and he knew he didn't deserve his great salvation. And he wrote the song, "Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed." I want to talk to you tonight about God's amazing grace. God's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, that saved a wretch like you if you're saved and born again tonight. And you do well to think about the great salvation that you have been given by God's free and amazing grace. So let's focus on that for a moment and consider why you, rather than so many others, have that great salvation. Is it because you're maybe a little bit better than others? Is it because you're a little smarter than others? You have a little more insight so that you understand things and believe things? No, my friend, not at all. It is God's grace that is the source. In fact, here's what it says in Titus 3:7, that being justified by his grace. Notice that? Just by his grace. That being justified by his grace, we should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know, you see these movies and some woman marries a prince, you know, or something like that. But people are born into the royal family. What did they do to deserve to be born into the royal family? Oh, zippo. You know what? If you're born again, you're in a royal family. What did you do to deserve it? El Zippo. You can't take credit for it. You can't take credit for it tonight. And you shouldn't, because then you're robbing God of all the glory and all the glory of his wonderful grace. And it says that being justified by his grace. I want you to think for a moment what justified means. The word justified means that God is the judge of all the earth. He can send you to hell. You say, how many people could God send to hell? Everybody. Did you hear me? Everybody. I don't care who you are. You cannot say, I deserve to go to heaven. Not the greatest person, the most. Nobody can say that. Everybody deserves to go to hell. And what justified means is that God chose to take heaven's best and put him through hell for earth's worst. He chose to impute the sins of an unworthy, undeserving world and place them on his son and strike his son, just like Abraham was called, you know, to sacrifice his son that he loved. God did that for earth's worst. And then he takes the perfect obedience of his son, where he never sinned one time, and puts that to your account. And then when you receive that through faith, he declares you righteous in his sight. And what does it mean to be declared righteous? That means that you'll never be more perfect than you are right now in God's sight, legally. You are legally righteous in God's sight. if you have received his Son through simple faith by grace. And that's what it means to be justified. And David describes that blessedness of the man that receives that. And David said, David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That means God puts the righteousness of Christ to your account. Do you know what? I think David appreciated that. He committed murder of a good man. He committed adultery with a good man's wife. And yet David is in heaven today as we speak. And I'm just saying that David said, you are blessed if you get that. You say, well, I've never done those things. Well, what if we flash all your thoughts on a screen tonight that you had for the last month? Put them all up here, all, any of you, or me. How would we be? The Bible said that if God did that, listen to me, no man would be able to stand. Every man, every woman would not be able to stand. And so David went on, and Romans 4:7 says, quoting David from the Psalms, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And thank God that our sins aren't just covered. Now they are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Jesus spoke of this when he said the Father had given a people to himself so that he could give a people that particular blessing. And it says in Romans 4:8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Let me ask you, could he have imputed your sin to your account and said you have to pay for it? Absolutely. Could he have called you to the judgment bar and said you are going to answer for all of your sins? Absolutely he could have done it. Why didn't he do it? He was looking for some of the most wretched, undeserving people he could find so he could get glory for showing you grace. You know, the Corinthian church thought they were something, and the Apostle Paul said, don't you know God has chosen the weak things of the world? We're not great. God is great. And he takes the lowly, and that should get rid of our pride and our vain glory tonight, but it won't because we have a sinful nature and we tend to want to keep grabbing back the glory. But thank God for his grace and how great our God is. And so what we're saying tonight, remember and appreciate God's amazing grace as to the source of your great salvation. If you have received this awesome salvation, there's only one word that can explain why you are here tonight and have these blessings, and it is the word grace. Great riches at Christ's expense. And the word grace that gave you the incredible riches that you have is something that you have received as a free gift of God, and what a blessing it is. And therefore, God justified you so that you could have the foundational blessing of being justified. And that means that you are so blessed to be justified. By the way, not one of the original sons of God who were angels were given the gift of grace. Not one of them. Not one of the fallen angels that sinned against Almighty God. Think about this. They were his sons, the sons of God. They were his stars. Not one angel that sinned did God provide a Savior. Did he have to provide a Savior? No. He allowed those angels to go through wrath and go through justice. And to be an example. And he says, in the Bible that he provided a Savior for human beings. And that was his choice. You see, he does. The amazing thing is, people say, you know, shouldn't God save everybody? No, the amazing thing you ought to be thinking about is that God would save anybody, any one of us. You should say amen to that. It is the amazing thing. That's why the name of the message is God's Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. God, you saved me. Why? You didn't save any one of the angels that fell. You didn't even provide a Savior for them. Why did you provide heaven's best for me? And the more you're saved, the more you ought to be amazed at that. That you're a wretch. That you're vile and sinful in your flesh. But thank God, you're not there anymore. You're in Christ Jesus. And the source of your salvation is by the grace of God. Now, an amazing statement he makes in Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know what? You can charge yourself and say, I'm wretched, I'm no good, I'm going to hell. But if you're God's elect, nobody's going to lay anything to your charge. Maybe your spouse or your family can say, you're a sinner, you've done this, you've done that. But you know what? God doesn't do that. He says, I forget your sin. I remove it as far as the east is from the west. People around you could charge you with sin, but the good news is, it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Moses committed murder, he's in heaven. David committed murder, he's in heaven. I'm just saying to you, beloved, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If God determines he's going to justify somebody, they're going to be justified. And we can praise him for it. I just think about Noah's day. There were billions of people on earth. Did anybody deserve to be saved? No. It was a population explosion. Nobody deserved to be saved. But the Bible says that Noah what? Found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. It doesn't say that God found Noah to be better than other people. It says first that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What's grace? God's undeserved favor. God said, I'm not going to destroy everybody. I'm going to save a people. I'm going to save them for my grace's sake, and I'm going to bless them. And he did save Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, eight people, through that flood. But remember, a lot of people were drowned in that flood because God is just. I think of Jacob and Esau, two brothers born of godly parents, Isaac and Rebekah. But you know what? I don't care how godly your parents are, how godly your relatives are. That doesn't get you justified, amen? You have to believe in Christ. And Esau and Jacob, they would have both been condemned and gone to hell for their sin. Was Jacob a sinner? Yes. Was Esau a sinner? Yes. They both would have gone. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. God saved Jacob. He didn't have to save either one, but God saved Jacob. And God's saving grace is always positive. And what is the purpose of God saving you by his amazing grace? It's so that you might see that he has this undeserved favor and his salvation blessings in your life, that you can see that, number one. And number two is, listen to me tonight, so that you can praise God for it. You say, Pastor, where do you get that in the Bible? The Bible says, now listen to me, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It's to the praise of the glory of the grace of Almighty God. You say, man, I got that person saved. Somebody else in the church took credit for it. I got them saved. No, God got them saved. Some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Praise God that you have a privilege to be a soul winner. And that we have a privilege to be a soul winning church. Because if we're not a soul winning church, God will raise up somebody else to do it. Because God's not going to save anybody without soul winners. And God's not going to save anybody that doesn't believe in Christ as their Savior. So he's going to have to raise up somebody else to get the gospel out. But he can do it. And don't you get to think you're so great. In fact, think that I'm just God's jackass. Say, what are you talking about, preacher? When God needed to get a word to a disobedient prophet, he had a jackass speak to him. And God can use anybody. It is such a privilege. God is the source of your great salvation. And we ought to realize that this whole thing is to the praise of the glory of his grace. You say, but doesn't he give rewards for soul winning? And doesn't he get... Yeah, he does give rewards for those things. But he gets the glory for it all. That's just how good he is and how generous he is. And so remember and appreciate God's amazing grace by remembering that he's the source of your great salvation blessings. And number two, remember and appreciate God's amazing grace as to the standing of your great salvation. The standing. You say, Pastor, where do I stand with God? All right, if you are a believer on Christ, I'm going to tell you tonight where you stand with God. Some people wonder, where do I stand with you, you know? Well, here's what God says. He says in the Bible, by whom also we have access, speaking of Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What I'm saying from the Bible here is that if you have come through the open door, and the open door is Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've accepted him as your Savior, that's God's grace, and you get in that door, and it says, whosoever will may come, written on that door, whosoever will may come, and we say, whosoever will may come, come in the door, and you get in the door, and now you're inside the banquet hall, and all this good food is in there, and Brother Steve, you know what's written on the other side of that door, right? Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Just like Matt said. He knew his name was in the Lamb's Book of Life when he was born again. He believed on Christ. But he knew after he got saved that he didn't make the first move. God had already planned it. Already provided for it by his grace. And so, listen to me. If God did that when you were out there in the world under Satan's power, and he got you into this thing, and God got you into this thing, don't you ever forget it. Once you're in it, you ain't getting out. You might want to get out, but you ain't getting out. You say, why can't I get out? But because Peter said, to whom else shall we go, Lord? Right. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Right. You think of Noah when he got in that ark, the door was open. Anybody was invited to get in. But by the grace of God, he touched Noah and his family to go in, have the faith to go in. But as soon as they got in, what did God do? Shut the door. God shut the door, locked the door. He couldn't get out. Maybe they saw family members out there and they wanted to help them. You know, they're drowning. God said, nope, too late for that now. It's kind of like the day of the Lord after the rapture. If you got people left behind, they can't get saved because they heard it and rejected it. So, what am I saying? I'm saying the Bible says you are in a new place of safety called being under grace. Before you got into this place of safety, you were not under grace. You know what you were under? The Bible says you were under the law. You know what the law is. like what they're trying to do with Donald Trump. We're going to find the man and we'll find the crime. God could certainly find the crime if he wanted to in your life. He wrote the book on your crime. He's got them all. But guess what? God said, I don't want to charge you with those things. I want to charge them to my son so that you might receive a great salvation. And once you receive that salvation, you're not getting out. You stand in there. It's kind of like this. Some people say, man, I've embarrassed myself. I've messed up too many times. I've sinned too many times. How many have embarrassed themselves by sin? Yeah. Yeah. I've done it so many times. But you know what? Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You're no longer under law, which means God is not looking to condemn you to hell for any sin that you do. In fact, there's no sin you can do that will condemn you to hell. Right. Because you're under grace. Compared to this, let's say that you heard that a nuclear bomb was going to go off and it's going to blow up everything in the area and everybody's going to be killed, but people are invited to get on a jet. And this big jumbo jet is taken off at such and such a time, and you run there, and the doors open, you get on the jet. Free flight, out of the danger zone. And everybody's broadcasting, and you get on, you take that flight. And you're on the flight, and you're being flown out of the danger zone, and you get up to go to the bathroom, and you fall down. Does that mean you're going to fall back into that nuclear blast? No, you fell down inside the airplane. You're not going to go back under that. You fell down. You may hurt your leg. And you're like, oh, man, I'm so hurt. Oh, it hurts. Yeah, but you're still in the place of safety. That's the grace of God. And let's say that, you know, there's a flood coming. And you live in this Valley City, and this big flood is coming. The dam is broke, and the water's coming, and it's going to reach you within an hour. And it's like a big tsunami, and everybody's house is going to be taken away. But they've got these big helicopters. And they say, listen, you have a free ride in this helicopter. Just get in, and we'll fly you up to a mountain where there's a big plateau, and you can stay up there in safety. And you jump on that helicopter, and others jump on that helicopter, your loved ones, and you're being flown up there, and you're dropped on top of that big plateau, and you see the floodwaters coming, and people that didn't get on the helicopter being destroyed. And what a terrible scene it is, but you're safe. But in the process of being up there, you fall down. You may hurt your knee, you may hurt your arm, you may break your arm. But you're not going to die in that flood. Amen. That's what it means when he says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. That is this place where God doesn't deal with us under law anymore and throw the book at us and condemn us to hell anymore. That's already been taken care of. In fact, you are now in a great family. I think of my wife. My wife was raised in a real supportive family, a loving father, a mother that helped to train them, provided for them, and they had good activities and support and good family life and a blessed thing. And my wife was born into that family, and she was blessed in being in that family. You know, when you're born again, you are not only in a safe place, you are in a wonderful family. You are in God's family. Right. Now, my wife didn't do certain things bad as a girl just because she didn't want to displease her mother. She didn't want to displease her. So she was careful about certain things. Thank God for mothers like that and fathers like that. My wife stayed pure till her wedding because of her mother. I mean, through those teenage years and so forth. And her family. But you know what? You and I, we may sin against God. But when we're in the grace of God, we're in the greatest family there could be, God's family. And he will keep you, now that you're in his family, from doing certain things that you might do. And if you just go off to do those things because you're in his family, he will spank you. By the way, I believe in spanking for children. I don't care what CYS says. What do they know? They don't know their head from a hole in the ground. They don't have a Bible right here. We need a father and a mother. Couples should get married with a covenant before God and raise their kids. And that pictures what we have. Now that you're in the grace of God, not only are you there permanently, no longer being condemned, but you are in a great privileged family that keeps you from going off into sin. By the way, that's why I believe in church discipline. Not because we don't love people, because you're in a family. And God is not condemning you to hell if you sin, if you're a child of God, but he wants to teach you to walk worthy of that family. It's a royal family. Remember Mephibosheth? How many of you know about Mephibosheth? Yeah. He was part of an enemy family. His family, his grandfather was King Saul, who had fallen. And Mephibosheth, when he was a baby, because he was part of a fallen king's dynasty, he was rushed to safety, but the nurse fell and he got his legs all lame and he couldn't walk anymore. And nobody wanted him. And if King David found out about him, if it followed what kings do, he would be killed along with all the relatives of King Saul, who were enemies of David. But thank God, we were enemies of God, on our way to hell, right, doing our own thing. He could have crushed you. Right. But what did he do? He saved you. And now you're in a permanent place where he doesn't condemn you to hell for your sin anymore. When you sin against him now, you don't sin against law so much. You sin against what? Love. And it really should hurt you, just like my wife. It would hurt her to do something. It would hurt her mother. When you and I sin, it ought to hurt us because we know God doesn't condemn us to hell for that. But it grieves God. It makes him sad. And we ought to have that as a great motivation for wanting to do what God wants. And so the Bible says, what then? Now listen to this. What then? This is talking about your standing from grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Romans 6:15. You shouldn't want to hurt your heavenly Father. You should feel bad and confess your sin when you do that. And I know you do if you're a child of God. Every child of God does. People that don't feel bad, don't confess sin, don't repent ever, they're not saved. They're not children of God. They don't know anything about the grace of God. Judas killed himself, but he didn't really feel bad in that sense. He just felt like, I messed up on a good thing. Is your attitude to God, I want to please him and I don't want to be ungrateful to him? Well, thank God for that. That'll help you to not sin. And so I'm saying you stand in the place of God's grace, which means you're in a safe place. You stand in the place of God's grace, which means you're in a better place where you could be nurtured to live a good way, not a bad way, because grace does that. And lastly, understanding, you're standing in your new position of grace means that you're under a new dominating power. One of the men tell me, who was the dominating power before you accepted Christ and were under the law? We just read about it.
The devil.
The devil. You're of your father, the devil. And the will of your father you do. You might not know you were following the devil, but you were. Because the devil controls this whole world.
Right.
He controls the advertising. He controls the media. He controls the values and philosophies of this world. He does that. And listen, before you're saved, you go along with the devil. But it says, being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. Romans 6:18. When you are in the place of grace, now you're not just, oh, I'm freed from the devil and from his dominion. No, now you have a new king. You know who that is? King Jesus.
Amen.
And you know who King Jesus is? He's not only the King of peace who gave you peace with God, so you're in God's family, but he's the King of what? Righteousness.
Right.
He's the King of peace and the King. So listen, there is a new dominating force in your life, and that's the force of Jesus moving you to do right. And he uses these things that I've been talking about. Sometimes it's chastening, spanking. Sometimes it's just not wanting to hurt your loving family, your God, your Father. But he has you in that place, listen to me, when righteousness is dominating in your life. By the way, if a person doesn't have that in their life, they don't know anything about that. They don't know anything about spanking. They don't know anything about confessing and feeling bad when they offend God. If they never admit they're wrong, they're always right. Well, then what is the case with them? Hey, Junior, what is the case with them? They don't know the grace of God. They're under law still. They have a legal relationship to God as a judge. I am so glad I don't have any more a legal relationship to God as a judge.
Man.
I have a gracious relationship to God. All because of my Father and Jesus Christ and the blessed Holy Spirit. So for your salvation, you praise the Father, you praise the Son, and you praise the Holy Spirit and save praising man. Check that at the door. We're a bunch of wretches.
Right.
We're unfaithful servants. Thank God that he lets us serve him. And the Bible says this, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. What's he saying there? He's saying before you were saved, listen to me, you couldn't do right. When I say do right, in a way that would please God. You might have been able to do certain things that were right to please people, but even the best things you did were filthy rags in God's sight. You couldn't do anything really right before God. You couldn't walk with God. You couldn't even talk to God, even the plowing of the wicked is sin. You were not right with God before you got saved by God's grace. But if you're saved by God's grace tonight, you should take the mentality, well, I just served sin and the devil before I was saved. I never really served God. So now I'm going to serve God all the time. I'm just going to, just like I serve the devil all the time, now that I'm saved, I'm going to serve God all the time.
Amen.
And when you're tempted to sin, you do that. Listen, I think sometimes we just let ourselves fall into sin. We get sloppy with this thing. And you could fall into sin right quick.
Yep.
Get out of church, right down. Listen, God says this. He says, and I'm almost done. He says in Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let me just say one thing and then I'll be done. And I shared that with you in the book by Jay Adams, the counseling book. There was a guy that went to a counselor and he said, sir, he said, I keep sinning. He said, what's your sin? He said, I fall into lust. I fall into lust and I'll be honest with you, I get into porno. That's my sin. And he said, it is so strong, it's like a vacuum cleaner. It just sucks me right in. I can't even resist it. And this guy was a believer. And he said, the counselor said to him, Well, tell me how it happens in your life. What? Well, it happens on Monday. I'm in church on Sunday. It happens on Monday. I'm just using that illustration. He didn't put that in the book, but I'm embellishing. Happens on Monday, and I do it. He says, well, when do you do it on Monday? He said, well, I'm at work, not doing it at work, but when I leave work, he said, I'm going by this Triple X Theater. They used to have those, Triple X Theater. Didn't have to just have it in here. He went by it, and he said, it was like a vacuum cleaner. Just sucks me right in. I see something on the billboard, and I get sucked in, and I'm into it, and I feel so guilty, so rotten for a whole week. And then it happens again. You know what the counselor told him? I know you know. What did the counselor tell him?
Go home another way.
Go home another way. Find out where you keep getting sucked down and go around it. Go another way. Break up the links in the chain of sin that binds you. God will help you because you're under grace. And the source of where you are is God. He wanted to show his grace in your life. And so he gave you all these blessings. And you stand, number two, in that grace. But he wants you to serve him and not serve sin anymore, but serve your God. And what a blessing that is. Amen. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. And we've been talking about God's amazing grace. We've been talking about you need to remember and appreciate.